It's 2:45. There's something going on right now in the city. The Board of Ed is determining now, my understanding, whether or not they will decide allow Chicago police in the schools, whether they'll keep them in the schools, renew that contract, the $33 million contract to keep them. There have been big protests across the city. There were protests outside Mayor Lightfoot's house last night for several hours. People who would like to see the CPD removed from the schools, and J. Mal Green was out there among them.
Can I just give you a bit of an update first?
Yes, we have one. I was going to ask J. Mal, but go ahead.
But maybe J. Mal knows better, but we're monitoring the meeting in here, and after a lot of talk, they're just now moving the motion toward a vote, so we should have results fairly soon.
All right. All right. Thank you. All right, J. Mal, is that about what you were thinking or hearing, too?
Yes. I've been looking at it and paying attention. It's important. So
I know you are. And tell me why it is you, if you could sum it up for folks who would like to understand this better, what would you say is the primary reason you need to get police out of the schools, and you want them out of all schools, right? Now, some suggest that the principals should decide and they know what's best for their school, but you say no, they all should be gone.
No, they all should be gone. And if I was a decision maker, you know, I would make it for everyone. We got to understand and look at the data and look at the research. You know, there's a lot of folks out there that say that they're by research, and let's go by it. The research shows that just the mere presence of police officers causes adolescents to be referred to law enforcement earlier than they should be, right? This is the school-to-prison pipeline that we have to interrupt. We can always call 911 if we have a problem. We don't need police officers inside the school causing a lot of these kids got PTSD. Let me just say this. You know, a lot of these kids got PTSD from being brutalized in their communities, from blue lights, and that causes friction already between police and communities. And so when they go into the schools and they have police officers in the schools, you know, it just adds a level, of trauma to prevent them from learning correctly.
Let me ask you about something else, because I'm trying to understand this. So if you have rival gangs in your school, if you have issues of violence or kids that had in general at any school who happen to be have violent outbursts or are known to disturb the setting that allows other kids to learn, I feel as if, how do you handle that now? What do you do tomorrow after you fire the police officers?
Yeah, listen, here's the problem. The problem is that we help create these problems, and then we come up with money to police these problems. We could be spending that money on restorative measures. We could be spending that money on programming for young people, on social workers and things of that sort. That can be helping all the problems that are going on with these young people in the schools. But you don't say that we're going to not spend money on these problems, which causes these kids to have these problems in the school, and then we're just going to police them.
Wait, Jamal, let me stop you there. There's a little bit of problem with that narrative. I understand the investment in the community argument. I understand that. But here's the part I don't understand. We just passed what was an extra $1 billion, a massive package for the Chicago Public Schools to raise teacher pay, to raise the pay of those around them, the clerks, like my mom was for more than 20 years in the schools, like all the people around them, and bring a social worker and a caseworker and a nurse to each school. Something that many other schools would love to have. I'm not saying that's enough. We can always do better. But to say this is purely a financial argument, that $33 million is going to make the make or break difference in the world in terms of violence being interrupted and stopped in the schools, I don't understand that.
Well, it's not gonna, if I'm glad you just made that point. Okay, if you think that the $33 million is not gonna make that big of a difference, it is not gonna make that big of a difference to put those police officers back on the street. Okay,
no, I think you gotta replace it though. You need security still, right?
Listen, I never said that I was against security. But we don't need police officers in the school. Look at the fact that we're spending $2 million on police misconduct for the police officers that have been brutalizing kids in public schools.
Inappropriate, outrageous, and just boils my blood. I agree.
I mean, that's ridiculous. So why are we continuing to spend money on police officers who are not trained to deal with young people in schools? We're spending our money on teachers, on social workers, on folks who are trained to deal with all these problems. Police officers are only there just to wait on something to pop off. We can call them for that. We can call 911 if we need police. We don't need them embedded in the schools, which can cause problems, which can cost taxpayer dollars.
What about the principal who says, I do need them? And I know my student population. I know what's going on here, and I do need them. What do you say to that person? What do you say to the students who say that they want them, not that, that don't feel trauma?
Well, what I say is the reality is there. Here's the reality. Let me just say this, and I'm gonna just get a little deep here, okay?
All right.
Some of those folks who say that are scared of black kids. All right, you got to understand that the majority of public schools are black children. All right, and the reality is they don't understand that we're not targeting what's really going on with these black teenagers or black young people that are in these schools. When they are coming out of broken homes, where they are coming from neighborhoods of disinvestment, where they are coming from the lack of parenting, or they're coming from having PTSD because folks in their neighborhoods are being shot. You know, when you have all of these problems that are going on, 18,000 homeless public school students, we're not tackling the real problems. So when they get in the school, that is when that is what causes more problems with other kids, is because we're not tackling the problems outside of the school. And so, yes, I understand that at this moment, you know, a lot of them feel that they need to be safer or whatever the case is. But we have to move our focus to tackling how can we help those kids who come from nothing when they get into the schools. All right, social workers, nurses, better programming, better education. 30 kids a classroom, it doesn't work. Lowering the classroom sizes. We talked about that in this plan, but it didn't go further enough, right? We got to talk about restorative measures, not just kicking kids out and not giving them the help that they need and expelling kids for no reason. Mm-hmm. We have to really just shift our focus from policing to actually targeting what is the problem with each individual student.
And I agree with that. I agree there has to be more investment in our communities. Start there. Let's just start there. People are suffering for a reason. We need to address those reasons. But the $33 million, don't you have to then pay for security? I mean, that's why I brought up the monetary thing, because I don't understand. Does it come down to $26 million or $25? I mean, you still got to have somebody handling the role of security. Let's be honest.
I
don't care what that person, how that person's trained, and if they're armed or not. Maybe that's something but isn't that person still needed? And so that $33 million isn't really the argument. And then that's what I keep hearing from protesters.
Right. If I'm not mistaken, you know, I believe a lot of the schools still have security personnel. But, you know, here, like I said, if we want to add more security officers than we can, okay? But, you know, just the reality is, you know, look at Minneapolis have led this charge, and I'm happy that they were the first to do it, to show that we got to start shifting away from this policing mentality.
All right.
We could be so much better if we start to focus on the real problems and not just police. We can always call 911. Hell,
yep.
Put a patrol car on the block if you want to, but not embedded in the school. It's just like when we talk about policing in the communities. We say that police officers are the mental health professional. They're this, they're that.
Right. It all falls on them.
And
I get
that. It's the same in the schools. We're putting it all on the teachers.
Jamal,
we're putting it all on the
I'm
personnel.
Up against a break here. I appreciate you calling in. I know this is busier than busy day because of everything going on. We'll wait to see what happens, and I hope that you weigh in whatever's determined, maybe even tomorrow if you've got a few minutes for us. All right, thank you so much. Jamal Green there. Pete, do I need to take a break here? Can I take... Okay, let's hear from Sergeant Pete real quick. You were an officer in a school. You just heard what was said there. Your thoughts, and we don't have that much time, Sergeant Pete, so I just want to mention that. Go ahead.
All right. He needs to, unfortunately, he's got some great ideas, but he needs statistics and facts to back up what he's saying. The real issue is the children need to be protected when they're in a school. The principal knows the students and the student body, and they know the community. There are some schools where kids have to walk blocks out of their way to get home so as not to go into gang territory. At the beginning of the school year, there's a rush to indoctrinate and force these kids to join gangs, and fights happen. Now, some high schools in better neighborhoods or in more affluent neighborhoods, they might not have this kind of problem, and they might have the resources to deal with it. But the bottom line is, if something happens in that school, And, you know, forget the metal detectors. They'll pass guns through the windows or knives or whatever. The response time to get for a squad car would be 3 to 5 minutes to get to that school. And in 3 to 5 minutes, little kids can be laying dead.
Well, a lot of things can happen, for sure, right? I wonder, this, you know, one of the points Jamal Green is making is that there, when the police are present and it isn't sort of a security person, that there is some can be overreactions, is what they say, to, you know, younger kids who may be acting out but don't really need to be handcuffed and, you know, those kinds of things that do end up happening when you have police there. Do you, in your experience, do you agree with that?
No, most of the time you don't handcuff these kids. Most of the time you can sit there and you can talk to these kids, and you go into the lunchroom, the kids see you, they're not afraid of you. The schools that I worked in, the kids would come up and talk, or they'd have a problem. In some cases, the kid would get, you know, say something, you know, I haven't eaten, or, you know, I don't have a place to stay. And the coppers usually will go out and give them money. I know police for years and years and been buying presents and feeding families, and that doesn't get publicized. You've got, the kids have to be protected, and I don't care how you do it, but you cannot take the risk that somebody could get a gun in the school and it would take you that long to respond.
Yeah, well, that would be tragic. I just, I wonder, with metal detectors and that kind of thing, Pete, are you guys, were you seeing guns come in the schools, or was it mostly the activity outside where the danger was?
Most of the time, after school was done, the high school up in up north here in Rogers Park, you'd have to go there, you'd take my tax team, you'd go there 2:40, 2:45, and we'd be parked all around the school so kids could go home. Some kids had to leave the high school and walk all the way to Clark Street and then walk north and then come east because they didn't want to go through a rival gang territory.
Yeah.
Or you were called for fights and beatings and stuff like that. You can't leave these kids alone.
Sergeant Pete, we're going to have to leave it there. It's something we will talk about on the show tomorrow for sure, because I would imagine by then we'll have some kind of a resolution from the school board and hear how they decide they're going to go forward, whether that's with the Chicago police officers on board in the schools or not. So thanks for weighing in. Always appreciate it.